congregation here present and us at home, as we gather here again in this evening, may the Lord enable us with each other to hear His word and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let us begin our service with coming before God in prayer and receive His blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of His own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our opening psalter this evening will be Psalter 15, speaking about the glory of God and His works. Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name, all Thy wondrous works proclaim. Psalter 15, we'll do verses 1, 2, and 3. Let us turn in the scripture reading to hear the words of Jesus out of Matthew chapter 6. And let us begin our reading with verse 19. So Matthew chapter 6, We hear the word of the Lord from verse 19 to the end. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust is corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, as I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So far, the words of God. Let us now together confess the faith on these words, as is summed up in the 12 articles of our Christian and undoubted Catholic Christian faith. And I may say, we say with our hearts, as I read with you, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church or Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Shall we now seek the Lord together in prayer? Most excellent excellency, the Lord of Lords, King Emmanuel, thou hast gathered us here together in this evening hour, and we have taken it upon ourselves to call upon thy name, that thou, O gracious Lord Jesus, would assist us by thy Holy Spirit in this prayer that we may bring before thee. For without thy Holy Spirit, Lord, we cannot pray. Help us in our infirmities, but also deliver us from our woeful tendency, by which we keep on looking at ourselves or within ourselves to try to discover some hope upon which we may be heard. And Lord, such is a dead-end street and a fruitless effort, for even our very best is declared in thy word as very filthy. And though that is difficult for us, O God, to learn, it is something that all thy children have learned throughout all ages. Teach us to come this evening to thee with nothing in our hand but thy own blood, the Lamb of God, thy own righteousness and obedience and merits as our only ground upon which thou wilt receive us graciously and pardon us again. And so, gracious Lord, wilt thou keep us as we are here gathered together in this moment of prayer, but also in this moment of hearing again something about prayer. Our petition remains the same. Teach thou us to pray. Keep teaching us, Lord. For we're never done learning. Thy children also gathered here with us or listening with us at home or wherever we may be this evening, will thou graciously examine our hearts of prayer as we examine this fourth petition tonight? Examine us, Lord, and search us, and deliver us also from any ways in which we have become idolatrous with our resources and with our ability and with our experience, or any other thing that we turn into an idol. Thou knowest our tendency, as John Calvin well said. Our hearts are just a workshop of all kinds of idols. And we pray this evening, will thou, O gracious God, teach us to recognize again that each crust of bread and every crumb on our table comes out of thy Father's hand. And Lord, may especially thy children recognize that this is very expensively bought, for it cost thee the blood of thy own Son, O Father, to provide us even with the daily needs of our lives. And we pray, therefore, that thou would graciously open our eyes again afresh tonight for that so rich and solemn truth. Teach us, Lord, that we remain dependent, not only for the initial grace in our lives, but for every moment of our spiritual walk, of our daily life, of our interactions with people, our family, or labor, at work. Well, thou show us, Lord, what thou art saying to us in Scripture, that without me or apart from thee, we can absolutely do nothing in the life of prayer and the life of serving, the life of loving thee. And therefore, Almighty God and Father, we have so many reasons to be thankful to thee. The streams of thy blessings that have literally been poured out over our lives and continue to be given to us. Will thou help us to recognize, Lord, thy hand, thy goodness. As we sang together, what are we that thou art mindful of us, that thou art faithful to us, that thou art so generous in thy giving. And Lord, we pray therefore this evening that though even that outwardly thou would open our eyes for the fact that without any reason in us, even our nation, thou hast divided our nation with a huge piece of this earth resources and blessings and providences. And we pray, if anything, let this current crisis that has not only affected our health, but also will for many already, and perhaps for all of us eventually, affect our wealth. And we pray, O God, that that aspect of this trial may also benefit thy people to live more in the faith of the Scripture that thou hast just spoken to us. Lord, that we may learn not to be anxious, not to worry, and not to be filled with the thoughts of how shall we pay this or how shall we clothe ourselves. Will thou graciously indeed teach thy children among us also, also as an example, Lord, and as a testimony to the world around us, that we are not shaken by the calamities that may befall upon us and may certainly also touch our lives economically, if not physically. That we then may indeed show, O God, in our life that we seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and a life of obedience and serving and godliness. And Lord, and thou hast promised we will not need to worry because thou wilt provide all things necessary for thy church. And so let thy kingdom people learn, Lord, that we all may learn that one of the basic graces in us that is so weak, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Lord Jesus, teach us that true godliness of contentment. Teach us to live in the surrender of Job's faith. The Lord gives, and thou also hast every right to take. Lord, thou takes as it pleases thee, and teach thou us to know what Paul wrote also to Timothy somewhere, reminding us we brought nothing into this world and shall carry also out nothing. And in the meantime, Lord, thou hast promised to feed and to nourish and to clothe and to protect and to provide for thy children. Thy seed shall not be begging bread. Scripture says, the lion shall suffer hunger, but those that fear thee will be provided for in their basic needs. And gracious God, teach all thy children tonight then to practice their faith. Truly teach us all of that in seeking first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. And Lord, bless this message not only to those whom thou hast taught and hast drawn and has given grace already. Let this message tonight also be as a fishnet to gather young and old sinners who've never learned to pray, have not learned to repent from ways of sin, who live in unbelief and rejection of what they know is true. O God, apply thy heavenly eye salve to us this evening that will show this, all of us, that even if we are a millionaire in the world, that we will be a beggar in hell when we are having nothing more than things. Oh, bring that home, dear Lord, to our hearts when we're young already. You see, this day we may also lift up thanksgiving to thee for our mothers. It is a day set aside, Lord, to give attention to our mothers. For some of us, mothers have passed on, and yet we may bless the legacy that our mothers have left us, Lord, that have been taken from us already. Many of us still have their mothers at home or in nursing homes. Now, as we have, most of us still have mothers taking care of us every day. And we thank thee for them, Lord, for their devotion, dedication, for their patience, for their faithfulness, and for their hard work. Long days and sometimes short nights are given especially to those who have young families. And Lord, we thank thee for the examples of mothers also within our church families. And wilt thou keep our mothers, Lord, from ever feeling what so many in the world will try to make them feel like, that it is a waste of a life to devote yourself to your family. Wilt thou graciously show, O God, also to such that this is the queen of callings. Bless them on, strengthen them on, provide for them daily. And Lord, we remember those women who crave to be mothers. Some have been, but through miscarriages were never able to take care of their children and are living with secret pain. And, O Lord, some of them indeed have never received the gift of marriage and miss out thereby also the gift of children. And others have become mother without being married and carry that load and by themselves. And others, Lord, remain barren in marriage together with their husbands. And we may lift up also all these needs, not only that thou would fill the empty arms and the empty hearts and the quiet homes. And Lord, what seems impossible with men and what seems impossible with the medical fields isn't impossible with thee. The poet sings somewhere that thou makest the barren woman to keep house. and to be a joyful mother of children. And we may so commend this all to Thee, O great God. Be mindful of all of us, also in this situation in our world. We pray for our leaders, also in our local state, and in this week decisions need to be made. We plead with Thee, O God, that it may again be possible for some of these restrictions to be relaxed, as it seems indeed that Thou hast blessed the measures to decrease the extent of the infections of this disease. And we pray that Thou would graciously bless us, especially as a congregation, Lord, as Thou knows the impending departure, that we may have some Sundays yet together here in the church building with one another. O Almighty, we lay this before Thee, not that we deserve any blessing, but do it for Thy name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 287. It's a meditation on God's providence. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. And we see that all around us again today in the time of our spring. So let us sing all three verses of 287. Dear congregation and families and friends, we hear it so often, sometimes I'm so busy. And if you are too busy to pray, then you are too busy. That's a very plain statement that we all should ponder through a little bit. If we are too busy to pray, we are too busy. And it is one of Satan's strategies to distract and to preoccupy and to fill our lives with things to keep us from attentive, persevering, thoughtful prayer life. Because he knows that if our prayer lives lessen, then our spiritual life will weaken. Some of you may have studied with me through the Holy War in John Bunyan. And you notice then that man Saul, after having such a glorious time of communion with Jesus Christ, after he has revealed himself to them, that their whole spiritual life drooped down to an absolute decay. And how did it start? Now, if you read back in the book, you notice that they less and less often frequented there speaking to King Emmanuel. They weren't going to the castle. They weren't paying attention to him. And less did prayer life function in the newborn Saul. And then spiritually, it went down backwards. Their life became a total spiritual shipwreck. Reading some years ago from James Fraser's biography and missionary to China, I learned from this man's own failures that we often reverse pray and work into work and pray. It seems but a little reversal. Pray and work. To reverse it into work and pray. And dear brethren, prayer must not ever be the last resort. It must always be the first one. James Fraser recognized he ran ahead, planned all kinds of things, had all kinds of good ideas, he thought, to put into place to evangelize the Chinese with his Christian ministry. And after he'd done all that work, he bowed his knees, asked the Lord to bless him. And then he realized that he ran without asking. So he learned the hard way. First pray, then work. It is like Bounds writes in one of his books on prayer, to give prayer the second place is to make God secondary in our life's affairs. And we just heard this evening Jesus reminding us, children of God, seek ye first me and my righteousness. First about my kingdom. And then all other things that you think you might need or that you do really need will be provided for you. Jesus said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And one of these temptations could be slothfulness. And one of these other temptations could be workaholism. And that's probably where we often, more often, stray, being so busy. And a great temptation in our lives. So that's what I learned from James Fraser. From Augustine and from Calvin, I learned that we must not look at prayer as a magic button, as if it's only prayer. Oh, we've prayed about it, and that's it. We've asked the Lord, and that's it. No, it is pray and work. And we are going to see this fourth petition tonight, which is asking about our daily bread. That doesn't mean I just pray for my daily bread and go on vacation and do nothing to work. It's pray and work. And how beautiful as our forefathers put those two together in that order. Prayer is to be followed with us doing what God calls us to do. For example, praying for food without going to work is tempting God. Praying for a new heart and not studying the Bible is tempting God likewise. Praying the Lord, please convert me and give me a new heart, and I am not seeing you opening this scripture and searching for the word and listening, and I'm tempting God. and going to work without praying and going to eat without praying is likewise tempting God. And so in a different context, I could take it out of that and apply it to prayer and work. What Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And of course, he originally meant that only to speak about a wife and a husband in marriage, but it's also here applicable, prayer and work. They're joined together. And God forbid that you and I separate the two. Well, fellow believers, tonight I may lead you to consider the fourth petition our Lord commanded us to pray. And indeed, as we are in the third part of the catechism, I must remind our hearers, we're dealing with an address to the Lord's people about the life of sanctification. Now, that is the portion of the catechism, and the only comfort in life and death is not only that I know my misery, and learn to appreciate and seek the deliverance in Jesus Christ, but also that I express it in my life of sanctification, and a large part of that is our prayer life. So may I invite you to open your psalters up to Lord's Day 50, and question and answer 125 of the Heidelberg Catechism, what is or which is the fourth petition? And the answer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, our diligence, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. So far, the commentary of the Catechism on this fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. I call the fourth petition our daily need petition. And there's four things that are suggested by this answer of the catechism. First is, to whom do you bring this petition? Now, that's just reminding us, of course, and the address again, our Father which art in heaven. So let's refresh our thinking on that. To whom do we bring this petition of our daily supply needs? Second, about what are we to pray in this petition? What are we thinking of? Thirdly, why do we bring it? And lastly, what does bringing this petition for our daily bread confess? What does it show? What does it confess about us spiritually? So, our daily need petition, to whom do we bring it? About what do we bring it? Why we bring it? And what does bringing this petition confess? Give us this day our daily bread. It's a simple, very simple little sentence in the petition, which really is a big chunk of our daily life. If you for a moment think here, and it's Mother's Day today, and also I think about mothers for a moment, what do mothers do most of the day as they are having their families? Most of the day are working on daily needs, washing, cooking, shopping, mending, cleaning up, ironing, taking care of kids. Constantly, every day you are dealing with the daily needs things. And indeed, we spend most of our waking hours on these daily needs. Also we are working as men. Also our waking hours, we are spending 8, 9 hours, 10 hours on our work. And yet notice that though we spend most of our waking hours on the daily needs, that Jesus put this petition on the fourth place in the prayer. It comes after the three first ones we have looked at. And what is he saying with us? Though you spend more hours on your daily needs, it ought not to weigh on your heart as much as other things. It certainly ought not to weigh heaviest on our minds. And that's why this evening we listen to Jesus' words, children of God, in Matthew 6. And the message that Jesus very sharply stated, he says, stop worrying about these things. Don't worry about what to eat. Just do your work. Be faithful. Be frugal. Take care of the clothes. Take care of your house. But don't worry about it. For your Father in heaven will take care of this. You may daily bring those needs to me. These real needs that you have about clothing and food and housing and all these basic needs that we have. And he says, you need to bring those to me, but they're not the most important. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Ranks above this daily need that we face every day. Good for us to be reminded of that. For oftentimes in our prayer, don't we focus more on these daily needs? And Lord Jesus commands us, no, that's not to be the first focus. Now my first thought was, to whom do we bring this petition about the daily needs? Isn't that beautiful? Children, imagine having to call Donald Trump, our president, tomorrow. And ask him, Mr. President, would you please help me to buy a gallon of milk? He probably said to you, come on, young boy. I got more things to do than bothered with that kind of a thing. And look what Jesus commands his children. Your daily needs, these are the basic things of your life. The most basic things of your life. He says, bring them to your Father in heaven. Give us this day our daily needs. We are directing, children of God, this petition to your Father in heaven, in Christ Jesus, who is the only fountain of all good. I just love the way our catechism says that we bring this petition to thee, who art the only fountain of all good. This is the Father. This is the Father that is giving you the liberty to bring all your daily needs to Him, no matter how small. And no matter how insignificant they may seem. And so I remind you, children of God, this evening, do you and I live below our privileges? Do you live below your privilege? What is the privilege? That I may bring to my Heavenly Father my most basic daily needs. Do I draw near with confidence unto the glorious throne of God the Father, and bring before Him the things that I face this day in my home, in my work, in my life that I live here below? Are we remembering what Jesus says somewhere in the letter to the Corinthians? All things are yours. It's hard to believe. But if you're Christ's, if Christ is your Savior, and you've become through Him a child of the Heavenly Father, then all things in this earth are yours. And it is His providence, and it is His care to provide us out of His resources whatever we need. Are we, children of God, reasoning like the Apostle Paul reasons in Romans 8? If He has not spared for us His own Son, how shall He not provide us with all things necessary? Paul reasons from the greater to the lesser. He says, brethren, why worry about these lesser needs? If God gave us the greatest need, which is the redeemer for our soul, the payment for our guilt, the ransom price in the blood of his own son, why would you worry about the little things that we need in this daily life? That's why I ask you, are we in this petition that we are given here, commandment to pray, remembering our privilege, that we may hasten to this Father's throne in the name of our beloved Lord to lay before us our daily needs? Now listen, we are then drawing near to a limitless fountain of all good. God is an overflowing fountain. Limitless. When Jesus departed into heaven, he says, all power is given me in heaven and earth. All power, not limited. It is every power that needed is given to him. And so the Father says, every beast on the field, every animal on the hills, it's mine. Children, your Father, children of God, your Father is rich. Your Father's resources are limitless. There is no need, therefore, to worry. Jesus says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Why would you? Your Father in heaven has thought out for tomorrow already. And what you need tomorrow, he will provide. Bring the need to him. Draw on his infinite resources. He is the Father and the fountain of all good things you need. You know, God doesn't need these animals on the hills. God says the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He doesn't need the world. He doesn't need the fullness thereof. But he will direct each of them to the place and person where he knows there is needs. We need not to worry. Even if your cupboard gets a little emptier in these days. Why? Look, your Father's cupboard is full. And it never empties. No matter how much he gives out of it. It's like that vessel or that little jar of that woman. It kept pouring. It kept pouring. You bring the empty vessels, it keeps pouring. Our Father is that Jehovah that Elijah pointed out to that widow and her son. There is no need to worry. We may bring our daily needs to the God who has committed himself to us. And if God empties your cupboards a little bit more in these days, and if God is indeed tightening the budget a little bit more, and if we're going to feel a little bit more in the pinch, and undoubtedly, if it goes on like this, we will, then mind you, then the Father knows it's high time for us to be reminded of what? If you have food and drink and raiment, then you have all you need. All the other things you thought you needed are really extra. And they have clogged up your spiritual life already so much, so it's time for me to set you a little bit on a lean diet so that maybe your heart becomes again much more dependent on me. God has his reasons for doing that, congregation. This overflowing fountain of all good is not always overflowing, though he gives indeed abundantly and liberally and repeatedly when we need it. So before we go on to our second point, let's ask ourselves a question, all of you here listening. Whom do you serve? Upon whom is your trust relying? Some of us serve our credit card. Some of us serve our bank account. Some of us serve our paycheck. Or maybe we are happy and content when our house is full of toys or tools and with our motorhomes and powerboats and so on. And we have all those things that we like. My friends, if you have all that. As it was well said by some, you have everything the world possibly could give you. And all you have is things. Nothing else but dust. And you may have some castle of dust, or you may have some other beautiful thing of dust. It's all dust, and you leave it behind. What a sad thing. If you are serving the idols, the mammon, and that can be anything of this world. Now notice, children of God, that this portion of Matthew 6, which is speaking to his disciples, that Jesus reminds us, you can't serve two masters. You cannot just live on both of them. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve the mammon at the same time. That's quite easy to do. I mean, it's quite easy to try to serve them. You can't serve both. How much in our life today are we depending secretly, perhaps even without enough realizing it, on this mammon? We find our comfort in the material things that are totally not necessary. They are totally not needed in our lives, though we think they do. And my friend, if that's now all you serve, if now all you live for this material benefits of this world, I have a question for you. Where will you go when your bank runs out? Where will you go to receive when you are in debt? And when all your resources have dried up. And when everything that's in your hand crumbles into nothing. And if finally hunger begins to pinch our stomach. And you know that nice boat in the yard. And that fat bank account in the bank. And that credit card with a huge credit line can't give you any bread. And then our gods will fail us. And I looked, and God's children are reminded tonight, if all these worldly things will fail us, we have a Father in heaven who will take care of us better than Solomon with all his riches. The wicked shall perish, God says. The enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. They shall consume away in the smoke. But contrast with the righteous man, his seed shall not beg bread, and they will not be forsaken. Precious is God and Father. Let's sing together Psalter 161, verses 5 through 9. 161. On him, ye people, evermore rely with confidence. Before him, pour ye out your heart, for God is our defense. So 161, 5 through 9. Give us this daily, our daily bread. What are we to bring to God in this petition? Well, it is clear from the wording, he didn't say, give us this day our daily cake. Bread, it is the most basic of life. Food, the basic of foods that people need. And so our catechism is correct that it comments that be pleased to provide it with all things necessary for the body. This petition deals with our body and the things that are necessary for our body. God knows that one of the greatest worries for 50% of the world's population. Now, just let us sink in for a moment. One out of the two people in this world struggle daily to find enough to eat. We just have no clue in our American society how much people suffer hunger in our world. And it isn't sad commentary when we are overproducing today. And we're throwing by the hundreds and thousands of hogs away every day because we can't supply them to the restaurants today. While 50% of this world really actually don't even have their daily bread. It is the most shocking statistic of how much food we throw away every year. I give you an assignment to go check it out this week. What is the average amount of dollar worth we Americans throw away each year on food? So when we read this petition, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, congregation, we have no inkling about the fact that many people are surviving, do not know how to survive, facing few supplies, or facing little resources, or facing an incredibly unjust system of dividing the little that there is. And such countries facing hunger and families that are at pain and no work, they do not get in their mailbox a stimulus check, as most of us are getting, or a business loan. It is a fact in life that though hunger exists in the world, it is absolutely unnecessary for anyone to be hungry. We produce so much food that we can nourish every individual in our world today easily. But it's not happening. Why? Because greed fails us and covetousness and we want to make money instead of feeding one another. And here we give in this petition the matter in God's hand. It is for us a little bit removed from our daily worry, hunger. But God commands his children in this petition not to worry about food and clothing. If we have enough food and enough clothing and housing, we ought to be content, Paul writes. That's what the Father promised. He's promised to meet our basic needs, not extra, not more. He has never promised that. But he's promised that he will take care. The Father says it here. If the Father takes care of the birds and the lilies, how much more shall he take care of you, O ye of little faith? That's what Jesus says to his disciples. Now mind you, these disciples gave up their employment. They gave up their fishing boats. They're following Jesus, their family. Peter has a wife and family. And maybe the others did too. And maybe they sometimes still worry about it. Says, oh, yeah, we're not working, we have no income. How are we going to feed? How are we going to pay the bills? Jesus, don't worry. I called you in this work, you will be taken care of. Now, obviously, not everyone will be taken care of in the same way as the disciples would be and were. But still, the truth is for all God's children here. You need not worry. Leave tomorrow's needs with me, for tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, that means the needs, the demands that you face today. They're enough. You lay those before God the Father and trust Him to supply. So these daily needs for our body, congregation, it's not only the food we're talking about. We don't only need food every day. This petition for the daily food supplies includes all what we need. What do I need? I need health. I need to be able to do my work in order to supply the income for my family. We need to have a job. That's daily necessary. There needs to be suitable weather. So this petition includes that suitable weather also for the farmers. It includes protection so that I don't get an accident or get sick. It includes the wisdom and the ability that belongs to the needs that I face every day. And there's even more. For a moment, think about that sandwich that lays on your plate tonight. That sandwich. That's gone to many hands before it came on your plate. There was a seed that was planted by a farmer, who knows where. It was harvested by a farmer. And the farmer, he used a tractor. And the tractor was made, fixed by someone. And the farmer brought it to the factory, and the factory changed it. There's a truck driver. There's a people that work in the factory. There's a shopkeeper. There's all kinds of chains to this link that brings that sandwich on your plate. Give me this daily bread. It's recognizing that there is many people involved that God uses to bring me my daily needs. We forget that sometimes. I remind you tonight of Luther, who says God is at work everywhere, through every calling, to supply you and me our needs. He has his hand on everyone. He has his hand on that truck driver who may not even fear God. He has his hand on that farmer who has absolutely no thought about the Lord. He has his hand on that shopkeeper who maybe bowed his knees, Lord, please help me to have supplies to sell to the people. And all of these people are part of this petition. Lord, give us this day our daily needs. And if you think about that, congregation, how beautiful does this petition then become? And how little do we recognize the hand of Jesus and his Father? As you come to the end of the book of John's Gospel, children, then maybe you say, oh, that's a little bit of an exaggeration what John says. What does he say? He says this: there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now think about that one sandwich that you just ate tonight. How was Jesus' hand involved in every step of that sandwich? And that goes the same for every one of our lives and everything we do and everything that we work and everything that grows. In everything is the hand of God. John is right. If all those things would be written, the world itself could not contain the books of what God is doing throughout our day. Give us this day our daily bread. And congregation, if the catechism indeed beautifully says, be provided us with all things necessary for the body, that doesn't only include your food and your health, that also includes your sleep. A good night's sleep is a tremendous gift. Also, that is a daily need. If we don't sleep, we will die. When we go to bed at night, we go into the repair bay. And as we rest our bodies, they're not really resting. They are doing something different. Our body is repairing. God is repairing every cell that God damaged through the day. He is again refreshing with renewed cells. We are completely in the repair bay. Those who know about these details, they assure us that we work harder in the hours of our sleep than we work when we work for hours in the shop. Sounds a little different, perhaps, to what we think. But why else would our Creator create hours of sleep? We sleep, what, 1/3 of our lifetime. That's not lost time. It's part of our daily need. And therefore, mothers, when you are asking the Lord at night, Lord, please may I have some hours of interrupted sleep, you are praying the fourth petition. Give us this day my daily need for sleep. All these matters we may lift up in the presence of God, our gracious Father. And children of God, what we need, no matter how small, fail not to pray to the Father about it. One old minister said once to me, growth in grace is not that you're able to speak about all kinds of things you have experienced. Growth in grace, he says, is when the needs you bring to your Father become smaller and smaller. To pray without ceasing is growth in grace. When I pray, friends, pray without ceasing means pray when you lose your keys. Pray when you can't find a tool. Pray when you are running late for an appointment. Pray when you lost your directions. Pray when you face an exam. Pray when you have a job and an interview. And mostly, of course, we are to pray for our spiritual needs that we need constantly. But in this petition, pray for all the daily needs of our life. What a privilege if you are a child of God. If you have such a Father who does not need to tell you, don't bother me with that. There's a story in the Old Testament when some of these sons of the prophets are chopping a tree, and you notice the axe flies off, the axe head flies off into the River Jordan and obviously sinks like a stone to the bottom. And this young man is exasperated because he has to pay back and he can't pay back this axe head. And what does he do? He calls on the prophet and he says, Elijah, help us. And Elijah says, okay, I will help. Just throw a piece of wood out there in that river. And he does, and then the axe floats on the top of the water. He says, go get it. Now, what's that story tell us? No matter how small and no matter how daily your needs are, you may bring him to the Father. Children of God, that's growth in grace. When we pray more specifically about the littlest things each day. Now that brings me to the third thought. Why do we need to send this petition for our daily supplies every day to God the Father? Well, congregation, that answer is short and simple. Jesus teaches us in John chapter 15 that apart from me you can do nothing. Now that is an absolute statement. He didn't say you can do a little bit without me. No, he says apart from me you can do nothing. That means we have no sufficiency to carry out our task, no matter how little. Our catechism brings it out really well. It says, give us this daily our bread, and that we may recognize that neither our care, our industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. We cannot do our work, we cannot fulfill our task without God enabling us. Our most utmost diligence, our wisdom and experience, our muscle power will not profit us. When Jesus says, without me you can do nothing, let none of us think, I can handle that by myself. I can solve that issue. I've done this before. I've seen this problem before. I can handle it. That's arrogancy. And if we are having that attitude and go into the familiar things, perhaps, God has a way to buckle our knees and to make us again realize that we cannot, without Jesus, do anything. Without our Father's blessing, a full plate of food, and the normal hygiene practices, and the best medicines, and the most careful diet will do us no good. Even thy blessings cannot profit us without, even thy gifts cannot profit us without thy blessing. So, spiritually, need we to be aware of the need we have daily. And therefore, this fourth petition that we are commanded to pray, children of God, daily, hourly, is to remind us that we need God for every muscle we move, for every thought we put into words, for every action that we perform. Listen to David in Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. What a beautiful admission. He is a military giant, a man who has experience in battle. And he acknowledges that all the teaching that I have learned to fight my battles in the care of God's call came from God alone. David disowns his own ability. I don't have too many soldiers in front of me. I have a veteran in front of me, but not an active war. But friends, let's just take David's word and let's apply it to our own life. When you do mechanical work, or when you are a surgeon, or you do clerical work, or you're involved in creative arts, or you are some engineering work, or you're in building or painting, or you are in preaching, don't forget the truth of Exodus 35. Let me just find it for a moment to read it to you. Exodus 35, God speaks about the people whom he used to build the tabernacle. Verse 30 to 35, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord is called by name Bezaleel, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Notice this. The Spirit of God. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. For what purpose? To devise curious works. In gold, in silver, in brass, in the cutting of stones, in the carving of wood. To make all manner of cutting work. And filled him with wisdom, all of them that helped him. Aholiab of the tribe of Dan and others, he filled them with wisdom and the spirit to do embroidery in purple and scarlet and to weave. Now what's God telling us here? Any skill we have in our daily work comes from him, the creator, the designer, the inventor, the creative one. And without him, our gifts will not profit us without his blessing. Now that brings me to my closing thought here. What does this petition confess? Congregation, if it's correct, give us this day our daily bread is a confession of faith. And that's also how our catechism concludes the commentary on it. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place our trust alone in thee. By humbling daily before the throne of the Father in heaven, we confess that we withdraw our trust from any creature, from any resource, from any gifts, from any wisdom and experience, and we place our trust in God alone. And therefore, this petition has a very great examination character. And before we part together, let me ask you again, in whom or in what do you and I trust when we go about our daily work? Whatever it is, in the shop, in the home, as a lineman, as a homeschool teacher, as a preacher, whatever it is, in whom do I consciously trust when I perform these tasks? And not too quickly answer, please. Because how often don't we rely on our past experience or what we have done before or upon others around us? And God says, no. Oh, give me this daily bread. Jesus commands us that we are to remind ourselves daily not to forsake looking at Him. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 3, I think, Israel, you've done two evils. You've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, you've hewed out broken cisterns which cannot hold water, and you're trying to get water out of that. Broken cistern is like a broken water pit that holds water, but it is not clean, it's not fresh. And so what Jeremiah is there picturing, children, is he says, you're not relying on me, Jehovah, but you're relying on Egypt and on Assyria and on all your experience and all your resources. You're not relying on the Lord anymore. Oh, let's examine that tonight. Are we not guilty of that too? We trust our wit. We trust our organization. God is giving us a reminder. Our healthcare organization is unable. Our economic muscle, no match. When God begins to move or rearrange things in our life, we will crumble. He's reminding us vividly in our nation and in our world. Our industry, our insurance policies, useless. If we not rely daily on our Father's care, nothing will protect us. God has leveled our modern day Dagon. When our economic muscle is being challenged at the moment, congregation, and you know what's mostly challenged? Our consumerism. That's accustomed to having lots of unnecessary things. And so this little fasting that we may have to face in our own lifetime from the things that are only extra will do us no harm. And let us pray it may do more than that. It may be beneficial to us all spiritually. Do I trust? Do I have faith, even for my daily needs, in Jesus Christ and His Father alone? Remember, faith means forsaking all. I trust Him. Not only for the spiritual thing. Not only for my relationship between God and me do I need to trust in Jesus Christ, but also for everything in my daily life need I to rely on God the Father. And what a blessing if you have the God of Jacob as your help and when your hope is on Him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Thank thee, Lord, reminding us all tonight, not only thy children, but also those of us here who are not relying even on thee at all. We all need to be reminded and to be taught to forsake all to trust thee. Not only for our spiritual Lord, but as we have seen tonight, also for every smallest detail of our daily life. And gracious God, wilt thou remind thy children among us that thou art a committed God and Father to take care of our basic needs according to thy promise. That it is sin for us to be anxious about the things that we need tomorrow. Even if we eat our last piece of bread tonight, thou tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Gracious Lord, thou knows that this is a sin we often excuse in ourselves, worry. And we might think it's called prudence, but that's not always, Lord. Help us to see that. Help us to see that we must trust in thee daily. And if, Lord, this trial that is facing our earth and also our own nation will end up stretching or taking away our reliance on the things that have become far too much important in our lives again, now what a blessing will this be? And let that not be necessary. Give us this day our daily bread. Teach us, Lord, to not rely on anything else but thee alone. And having heard something of this privilege, Lord, that belongs to thy people, may all those children and adults who've listened tonight, who say, I'm a stranger of him, realize how they wrong their own soul and their body when we continue to disobey and reject the word of the gospel. Please, Lord, bless us as we go forth in this week, and all that we may do, must do, keep us safe, protect us from sickness, from harm and dangers. Uphold all those who are in leadership. Bless those who are taking care of the sick. Also those who must bury in extraordinary large numbers people that have died. We pray for these funeral directors and helpers. That they not become callous, but also their hearts may be touched. Hear us, Almighty Lord, we plead in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Our closing song will be 451, and we'll do verse 1 and 5. Again, for those of you who are not familiar with this song, it is found after the section of the doxologies. It has no number in our psalters, but it is the Lord's Prayer, and we'll sing verse 1 and 5 of this one.
Father, clothed with majesty.
Receive the blessing of the Most High and let us go in peace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.